Hey there, this is Jesse Scardina, news writer for searchcontentmanagement.com.
And I'm Dom Fluckinger, executive editor for searchcontentmanagement.com.
And we're here at the latest recording of the Pipeline podcast. We're discussing the SharePoint Fest DC that Don attended earlier this month in Washington, D.C.
The Walter Washington Convention Center.
Do you have any cherry blossoms coming out yet, or are we not quite
yes.
there? Yes.
Yes.
Good time of
nice.
Year.
I think this is the first time I've been in D.C. when the cherry blossoms were out, because I've been to D.C. many times when I covered health IT for TechTarget. Seems like all the news was happening there as federal health IT authorities were, you know, talking about data standards and interoperability between record systems and all that stuff, but I never was here during the cherry blossoms.
But what brought you back there this time was SharePoint conference, and I understand that there's kind of a tour across the country of these types of shows. So what was the DC one like? Who was there, and what was kind of the context of the show?
So yeah, SharePoint Fest, in talking with people at lunches and stuff, they're saying, hey, you got to go to the Seattle one because a lot more people go to that, and there are several other cities where they have these conferences of SharePoint experts and MVPs, guys and gals who have worked with SharePoint as developers and admins for it. The product has been out since 2001. So you think about...
I won't tell you where I was in 2001.
Well, since as long as Tom Brady's been a Patriot,
true.
Right, there's been a SharePoint. But yeah, so these experts do hands-on, some of them are deep technical presentations on making your SharePoint work better. And it's still the backbone of intranets. So anything that your company has for its own document, they probably have 20-year-old legacy documents in there on, you know,
yeah.
how to get a new badge or whatever. But there's also marketing materials, anything that's proprietary content, they put on SharePoint as a repository. And then they run Office 365 and all the other, you know, development, Microsoft, all that Microsoft universe works on top of that. So there were about, it looked like fewer than 1,000 attendees. I mean, I'll be charitable and say it looked like 500. But these were all power user Microsoft customers. They were SharePoint admins, Office 365 admins. And a lot of them were from the federal government, obviously in D.C., and I think that's why they put this particular edition of the show, so that these folks can show up and learn about compliance strategies and sort of how to squeeze the most out of this product that can be inexpensive compared to other commercial solutions, right? So,
And you mentioned the age of SharePoint, how long it's been around, and how many companies probably have it built into their workflow. But you also quickly brought up some of the tools that Microsoft has come out with since then that also help with that. Obviously, Office 365, Microsoft Teams is another one. How much emphasis of the conference was on SharePoint, and who still uses SharePoint compared to some of these newer offerings?
So, yeah, that's a great question. Microsoft's keynote was either 99% or 100% not SharePoint. They were talking about Office 365. They're talking about cloud applications. And, of course, there's still a on-prem SharePoint, and there's a SharePoint Online cloud version. And
private,
so,
public cloud type of thing.
Right. And users are very divided as to which one works for them. Microsoft was talking about ID management and things in new email Office 365. You will be able to prevent recipients of your email from replying to all or forwarding. Like, there are lockdown things, which, you know, some of these federal agency folks out there in the audience were breathing sighs of relief. I could hear, oh, nice, finally, because they have to control the flow of data in their organizations. But this isn't SharePoint. Right? This is not SharePoint. And I really got the idea that, fairly or unfairly, the power users who attended this conference believed that Microsoft was not only trying to kill their online or their on-premises version of SharePoint, which their organizations are not going to SharePoint Online because of regulatory, security, or just company culture.
20 years worth of on-premise, it's really tough to migrate that.
Workflows, yeah. Right. Workflows and approvals and administration, all built around this product.
Right.
And so they felt that Microsoft was not only trying to kill SharePoint and maybe rebrand it as some other Office 365, something or other, but they were also trying to kill off the on-premises. They had their sites. And the experts, which this was quite refreshing compared to Salesforce. When we talk to Salesforce experts who don't work for Salesforce, they're the Salesforce admins at large companies or whatnot, they pretty much toe the company marketing line with Salesforce. They don't want to get in trouble. But these MVPs, both Salesforce and Microsoft, call their super consultants MVPs. Microsoft MVPs, they pull no punches. I mean, they would be like, well, the company is trying to force us off the cloud, but they will not.
Right.
Because their biggest customers, some of them cannot move their content into the cloud for various reasons, many of them regulatory, and they're telling Microsoft, no.
Yeah.
You can have my SharePoint server when you pry it off my cold, dead fingers.
And Microsoft has to listen to those customers, too, because, like you said, they're the ones that have been there for almost 20 years now. Now, you mentioned something about a tool that makes it impossible to reply all. I would not like to see that, because one of my favorite things to find on a slow internet day is the company that got into a reply all catastrophe and spent 7 hours just trying to cipher through reply all emails. So it's happened once or twice at a smaller extent here at TechTarget. We're not immune to it either, but it always amuses me when a company gets just completely distracted and decimated by a reply all chain.
Yeah, well, it's all fun and games when I'm complaining about wiping out the Coke machine's diet cherry vanilla Dr. Pepper. And I think I'm emailing you, but I'm emailing everybody or all 600 people in the company, including, you know,
CEOs, right? CFOs.
Yeah, that's kind of funny, but it's not funny and I'm not singling anybody out in the government, but, you know, let's say the son of a chief executive, you know, emailed the nuclear codes to Putin. Well, then it's not funny anymore.
Right.
Right.
So, you know, that's a big story coming out of this podcast is the lack of reply all in the future, maybe. But what was the big story? What was the big story that came out of your conference coverage last week?
Well, I sort of touched on it, and that's Microsoft will continue to support on-premises SharePoint, which sounds like kind of a dud non-story. But when you think about it, 170 million customers use SharePoint. And
most of them still probably use an on-premise version.
Well, there were several surveys, some done in the SharePoint Fest DC app, as well as I saw a lot of, you know, raise your hand if.
Yeah.
But then also there was a very large-scale research study done. I saw a little bit of a preview of that. It will be published next month by a company called CollabTalk, which is somebody friendly to Microsoft, yet independent, but it's really, it looks like it's about 50-50.
Interesting.
And
I mean,
yet,
still, that's an amazing amount of customers that are still using an on-premise version of it. It'd be difficult to, you know, remove that from the workflow, and you'd really irritate millions of customers.
Well, yeah, and the CollabTalk survey dove into some specific reasons why federal, state, and local governments cannot go to SharePoint Online. And, I mean, most of the reasons were around budget. You know, we don't have the competency to migrate it, and we don't have the competency to maintain it. We don't have the competency to do a feasibility study to figure it out. And then, anyway, many of the reasons were around that. But then there's also cultural stuff. I talked with one attendee there, and this was a SharePoint admin. I'm being very careful not to give any personally identifiable information, but this person said to me, my company is from Europe and they don't trust the cloud and they never will. Meaning, if SharePoint on-prem goes away, Microsoft will lose that customer.
Right.
And this is an international company that does a lot of business. This guy runs the SharePoint for the United States wing of this company. And it was obvious. They will never go. So Microsoft is at this crossroads. So what they're doing is chopping off little features of SharePoint here and there and moving them into other branded things like Power Apps and sort of this low-code developer environment. Mm-hmm. Online-only console now. Mm-hmm. And so they shaved a few features off and put it into Power Apps. And one presenter I saw, a Microsoft MVP, said, frankly, I'm moving out of SharePoint and into being a Power Apps MVP because the work that I do is now more Power Apps than SharePoint.
Yeah.
And so it's very hard for me to say that SharePoint has a future because I can see right now my work is migrating into Power Apps and right the hell out of SharePoint. So
you look at the cloud, if you think of kind of the cloud movement as a pendulum, you know, 5 to 10 years ago it was all cloud. This is going to change everything. This is how companies are going to store almost everything. And now you're seeing a little bit of a swing back where you see use cases, whether it be regulatory, security-wise, workflow-wise, where it's like, well, there's still a reason for on-premise storage and on-premise workflow. And now that's where you're seeing kind of, I mean, we saw the news a couple weeks ago about Salesforce buying MuleSoft with the hopes of creating a hybrid cloud offering, which it hadn't had before. You see it becoming more popular of a public cloud and a private cloud coexisting for a company that has some workflow that it cannot move to a cloud for one of the reasons we've discussed. But there's other reasons as far as flexibility that make cloud sort of storage more of a necessity.
Well, as our esteemed editor, who we both report to, put it in an email to me after I filed the story about prying SharePoint server off my cold, dead fingers, put it. Those Microsoft users, those veteran Microsoft users, they don't like change.
No.
They don't want to embrace the cloud. And so perhaps my story reflected the audience that attended SharePoint Fest DC. But you know what? They're very confident, and I felt they had some valid points. And who knows? If you're a new startup, you're not doing SharePoint on-prem.
No.
You might not even be doing Microsoft. But if you are doing Microsoft, you're doing their 365 cloud
suite. That's the thing. Yeah.
And you're happy about it because you don't have a flipping data center that you have to pay somebody to watch.
If you're a startup or a newer company, you might be all cloud all the time. It's really these companies that have been around that have such a legacy workflow built up that it might just be too hard to do it. Or those industries that are so heavily regulated that cloud technology is still kind of something on the horizon. And the story you mentioned, I believe that would be on searchcontentmanagement.com.
Absolutely.
Lastly,
just search for SharePoint 2019.
don't search just for SharePoint or else you might get lost.
Oh, yes. We have a lot of SharePoint fans who read Search Content Management.
So lastly, you know, what type of sessions did you attend? I know you mentioned before we got online here about some search and security type sessions. What does that have to do with SharePoint?
Well, security is paramount if you want to be a federal agency. You have to ascribe to certain standards to just get a government contract. And there are several different layers of security certifications depending on which agency you're working for, obviously. And then there's also security for regulated industries. So you might be a financial institution and maybe you're not working with the government, but you must comply with regulations about protecting data. To protect consumers, to protect patients in the health system, to protect intellectual property. So the security session not only talked about specific federal government standards and regulatory standards and things to do, but also just best practices for access control and identity management. So I'll be delving into that in a tip story. And the search thing was interesting. I saw so many sessions on search. It was such a common thread through a half dozen, maybe nine sessions that I have to go and see what's up about this. And one of my misconceptions going into this conference was that search on SharePoint works like it does everywhere else. You know, there's AI and it's all automated.
And into a keyword box and voila, right?
But we have a SharePoint here and I can never find anything on our SharePoint. And so I wanted to figure out why. And it turns out most companies don't have engineers and data scientists like Google working 24/7 to tune up those algorithms. And it is quite a manual process. And anyway, I'll delve into that into a tip story as well. Sort of like low-hanging fruit to make search on your SharePoint site work a little better than it does now.
Right. And those future stories can also be found at searchcontentmanagement.com, as can some of our future podcasts. We're both traveling quite a bit in the coming weeks. This week, actually, we'll be staying in Boston for Salesforce World Tour, where we'll have a podcast coming out of that on the Search Salesforce website. But we also have some upcoming shows. I'll be at the Association of Information and Image Management Conference in San Antonio next week. Don, you'll be in Chicago for...
Oracle CX User Conference. Allegedly, 3,000 or 4,000 users at McCormick Place.
Fantastic. Well, that's plenty of pipeline podcast content coming your way, so hopefully you guys are... ready to listen, and Don, we'll be back in the studio here soon.
Thanks, Jesse.